Morning, everyone. Thursday, March 23, Big Sports Breakfast, Sky Sports Radio, a bit of midnight oil for your Thursday morning. Good morning, wherever and however you are listening. Yes, good morning, Michael.
Lord Howe Island.
Yes.
Weather report.
Yep.
Is Lord Howe Island in New South Wales?
Yes, officially.
Is it really?
Yeah. There you go. A bit of trivia for you. Thursday morning pup.
Can you explain that to me?
Okay.
How is it in New South Wales?
Well, it's an Australian, it's an island that belongs to Australia. You've got to put it somewhere. So I may as well go, considering it's off the coast of New South Wales, out.
2 hour flight?
Not sure. Not
from
sure.
Sydney? Have you been?
No, I haven't. My
mum
has.
Would you like to go? I'd like to go.
Yeah. No, apparently it's great. I think there was some sort of fungal outbreak there, though,
recently. I'd like to live somewhere like that. Middle of nowhere.
Yeah, it's
boat in, boat out, or fly in, fly out.
It's directly east of Port Macquarie.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. I didn't know it was a part of New South Wales.
Well,
thank you for the history lesson.
Morning to everyone listening.
Lord Howe. Do you reckon we've got any listeners?
Big fans of the show.
Do you reckon we've got any listeners?
Oh, I'd be shocked.
They got reception out there?
Wi-Fi?
Black and white TV or colour TV? I'd actually like to go. I spoke to a mate not long ago about Lord Howe Island. Said I don't think I'd last too many days, but I reckon a little weekend trip, Loz, would be good.
Mm-hmm. Was have that, you been? Mate?
No, I've never been. But
morning,
I've,
mate.
Morning, yeah. Boys. I have a mate that's gone there, and he said it was
good.
Nice. Yeah, very nice.
Yeah, I'd like a little.
Mm. Was that mate?
Excuse me?
Yeah, okay.
It's just a friend?
Yeah, sure. Okay.
Happy morning, Thursday.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So, no Von today. Von Sampson,
what's
unfortunately.
Happened? The Vonster.
She has an obligation to her primary employer, Fox League.
Choo-ching.
I think some sort of photo shoot or something.
Okay. Shame.
So, there you go. She's brushed us for
that ruins Thursday, then.
Brushed us for a modelling shoot. I mean, seriously.
Yeah, fair enough, though.
Gosh.
You watch the Aussies last night, boys?
Ah, they had a win. Well done, pup. Good prediction.
2-1.
21 runs. We've won the one,
never
the
in
third
doubt.
One dayer. So we've won the series 2-1. We'll roll for 269 after winning the toss and electing to bat. And Travis Head and Mitch Marsh opened the batting. Davey Warner batted at 4. But it's an interesting scorecard. Everyone got runs except for Steve Smith, who got a globe coming in at number 3. Even 10-11 got 10 runs. So 47 top score. Everyone contributed bar Smith. And then with the ball, we rolled them for 248 off 49.1 overs. And Adam Zampa, 4 for 45, was a judge player of the match. Mitch Marsh, by the way, player of the series, was really good. I love this one, pup. Surya Kumar Yadav, who's a T20 specialist, isn't he, there with India? And he's been playing in this one-day series. 3 golden ducks for the series.
Ouch.
I mean, that's you don't see that.
Never seen it before.
I mean, you've seen a run of ducks in a row, but three golden ducks in a row.
No, I've
How's your confidence?
I've seen 2 in a row. I've never seen... I actually think I got 2 in a row opening the batting for Australian one-day cricket in India. Zahir Khan, I think I got... Oh, I can't remember the first one, but second one I got caught down the leg side. I think it was 2 golden ducks, but I have seen 2 golden ducks before, but I've never seen 3. 3 in 3 games. That's, that's not a great series.
What do you make of the fact that
he's not a bad player,
it...
though, as well.
Oh, no, he's a, he yeah, clubs it in T20, doesn't he?
He plays all the ramps and over the keeper's head and switch it and all that stuff.
He's flash.
He's pretty good.
Not so flash at the moment, though.
No.
But what do you make of the fact we kept...
Yeah,
the openers
interesting.
As
interesting.
Head and Marsh, well, Warner 4. And could that be the method or the strategy come the World Cup later this year?
Well, if it is, I reckon it's Warner v. Labuschagne for that number 4 position. If they're going to go that way, I reckon you can only, because they both played last night, but I reckon you're only picking one of those two, and then I'm bringing, I don't know why Glenn Maxwell didn't play, I'm bringing Maxwell back into my team for that World Cup in India. But it looks like they want Mitchell Marsh at the top of the order. They had him at number 3 in the T20s. And now they've given him a crack opening the batting. And I think in India, I can understand why. You want to go as hard as you can. So, it looks like, that might be their theory. Travis Head, Mitchell Marsh, top of the order. Smitty at 3. And then I think you pick him one of Warner or Labuschagne at number 4. And Davey Warner can bat at 4. He plays the spin pretty well. He's got all the switch hits, all that sort of stuff. Might be a good option, left-hander as well, in through that middle order. So, yeah, I still think Davies... Mate, Davies one of Australia's all-time best opening batters. You know, he's, if he's not... He's in the top three in all three formats, I reckon. Him and Matty Hayden, they're probably the best two I've seen. I loved Michael Slater. I thought Slats was a brilliant player, but Davies' record's better than Slats.
Mm. Oh, well, Slats strangely had a poor one-day record.
Yeah, Slats' one-day record wasn't great. Mm. Yeah, I remember speaking to him about it. He just, the expectation around thinking he had to go harder than he did in Test cricket really played on his mind. But technically, and in Test cricket, well, Slats changed the game, I reckon, the way he took the quicks on in Test cricket. But technically, he was brilliant, Michael Slater. My God, amazing defence, really good footwork. But yeah, Davies been a phenomenal player. So I still think he's going to be a part of that World Cup campaign in October in India. Whether he opens the batting or he bats in that middle order, he's done it before.
The footy. We start with the grand final rematch tonight. Jake from Canberra on the text line just put all his tips in for us. I tipped the Eels to beat the Panthers. I tipped the Storm to beat the Tigers by 20. The Dolphins to beat the Broncos, he says. Titans to beat the Cowboys. Sea Eagles to beat the Rabbits. Warriors to beat the Dogs. Raiders to beat the Knights. And then the Sharks to beat the Dragons. Good on you, Jake from Canberra. Put a lot of effort into that text. Put all the venues in as well. But great game tonight, Loz. Grand final rematch, Penrith and Parramatta. And it is not... Is it desperation? We can't really say desperation, can we, yet, for the Eels? But it's getting close.
No, you can. You don't want to be 0-4. I mean, it doesn't write off your chances of playing finals football, but it makes it extremely difficult because you haven't got much room for error. You've still got representative football to get through. It's a long season. Injuries. I know they've got a couple of injuries at the moment, but... they get Ryan Madison back. Sean Lane is out. But, there's not that many that would come back into this team. So, they've been putting out good teams. They've been putting out okay performances. They just haven't hit the mark. It's a must-win game, I think, to build their confidence levels up. They got the Roosters next week. And they're coming off a bye. They'll be fit and fresh and ready to go. So, I think it is. I think the Eels have to put in a strong performance tonight. They have to win. They've got to get better performances out of the halves. They've got to be able to, I see in the paper today, they're talking about, not being able to ice the moments when in the games over the last couple of weeks, and that's a true assessment. I think it's an honest assessment of where they're at. The halves, you paid big money and you paid to win games when they're tight. And they haven't been doing that, and they need to be able to come up with the right plays at the right moment tonight, because if they don't, they start the season 0-4. They're chasing their tail all season.
Gee, I'm just seeing a tweet from the Barmy Army. I'll check this out.
What's happened?
Ben Stokes looks likely to miss one day International World Cup in India later this year, but he's...
Got a knee injury.
No, he's retired from one day cricket.
That's from the Barmy Army.
Yeah, no.
Didn't he have an injury as well with the knee?
I just saw that.
I'm worried about him going to the IPL.
He's had a crook knee for a while.
To get ready for the Ashes.
I'm not seeing anything official on this, so let's just... Oh, well, he's Matthew Mott, the coach, is trying to entice him.
Yeah, he's left the door open. He said, we'll take him back. Yeah. Of course you will.
Mm.
But yeah, it wouldn't surprise me, actually, if Stokesy come out of retirement for the World Cup, and then that would be his last tournament.
Mm.
But either way, they're good one-day team, England. India, good one-day team. Australia, good one-day team. I reckon they're your pick. Sri Lanka, Pakistan always come back into it in those conditions, but... Yeah, India, Australia, England, probably the best one-day teams, I reckon, at the moment.
And if you're just tuning in, we're speaking earlier, the Aussies won by 21 runs overnight against India in that third one-dayer. And Surya Kumar Yadav has had three golden ducks for the series. Mitra Robertson's gone early on the text line here. Boys, about 10 years ago before the season, my brother declared he was getting 1,000 runs in the season. In the month of November, we played 7 games and he got 7 ducks opening the batting and mostly goldens. The month is now known as No Run November. Very good, Mitch.
7.
And by the way, for all the Robertson locals, the great Nathan Hindmarsh is coming on the show after 7 o'clock this morning as well. So we'll get a full report on the Robertson Spud race. But we found your two Golden Globes too, Clark, in the ad break.
So. Yep, against India.
India, October 2007, so pretty early in your career, in Nagpur and Mumbai, opening the batting.
Yep, Zahir Khan, I think.
Well, Court Dhoni was the first one.
So Court down the leg side.
Yeah. Just a little trickle.
Started my tour to India well, and then Zahir Khan, I probably got LBW or bowled.
LBW.
Is it the left-hander, Zahir Khan? Yeah.
Golden. Imagine that as you land in India, Loz. Welcome to Chicken Tikka Masala.
Why were you opening?
I don't know. Somebody must have been out. Haydos, I reckon, was out, injured. Right. So I got a crack. But
yeah,
I loved opening the batting.
Yeah, I know that.
I didn't. Two Golden Ducks, probably not a good way to push your case forward.
Did you open for that series or just because someone just missed that game?
I think because Haydos must have been injured. But yeah, when we were fully fit, Matty Hayden and Gilly always opened. Yeah. Ricky three.
Yeah, you four.
Start of my career had Damien Martin at four. Darren Lehman, five. Me, six. Michael Bevan, seven.
Seven.
When I started. And then when Mardo finished, I went up to number four.
He was a great finisher, wasn't he, Bevan?
Bevo. Genius, mate. My God. I think the two players that stick in my mind that were well before their time were Dean Jones.
Yeah.
Dino was a freak of a player, and he changed the game the way he...
He had a bit of leer about him, too.
Yeah, charged the fast bowlers, bat in his cap... brilliant in the field, big throwing arm, speed,
fit
as Dino. And then Bevo, the way Bevo batted, man, he just summed up any situation.
Yeah.
He would have been a genius in 2020 cricket, I reckon. Because he could have batted, he would have batted middle order.
Yeah.
And that's the hardest place to bat in 2020 cricket. Everyone wants to open. Number four is probably the hardest place, I reckon, in 2020 cricket to bat. And Bevo would have owned that spot. Yeah. He was so good. Number five, six, seven.
Just worked the ball so well, didn't he, into the game?
He just knew. He just knew what he could do and when to flick a switch.
Was it against West Indies at the SCG?
Four off the last ball.
Yeah.
Straight down the ground.
Yeah.
Roger Harper.
Yeah. That's
back over his head.
That's one that I remember.
Mate.
We were 6 for 38 chasing 170 in that match.
He was like, you know, the other one that I reckon, if Bevo's not the best finisher ever, I reckon him and MS Dhoni are the best two. MS Dhoni was a freak.
Really?
All he thought was, I just got to get to the last over. Even if we need 20 off it, I'll get them.
Yeah, right.
Because the bowler will crack under pressure. And 9 times out of 10, he was that good.
Yeah. You've got to have strong belief to do that, isn't it?
Mate, you want to be a freak of a player. Yeah. Know your power. Know you can hit the ball from wherever they bowl it for four or six.
Yeah.
Where Bevo didn't hit sixes, he hit a lot of fours, but he's running between the wickets. He was as quick as any, and like Dino, those two, as quick as anyone. Placement. Michael Bevan's placement was genius.
Yeah.
Always hit a gap.
Yeah, it's a shame back then, I suppose, you just thought that, you know, if you played well at that level, your one day level, you could transfer it onto the test set. Whereas now you're actually more specific about who you pick, and you're just a sort of white ball player and you're a red ball player. Or has he got a chance?
But when he got a chance against the great West Indies attack as well.
Never actually grabbed it, did he?
Bevo's record in Sheffield Shield cricket is as good as anyone. He averaged 60 in Sheffield Shield cricket, maybe more. So he could have played any format, but it was because of two things. When he got his opportunity...
They bounced him a bit, didn't they?
They bowled back of a length, Courtney Walsh, round the wicket, hard for a left-hander.
Yeah.
So a good West Indian attack, he got out, didn't make as many runs as he would have wanted, but he was also playing in an era where everyone was cemented. Taylor, Slater, Boone, War, a young Ricky Ponting, or a Damien Martin. Like, they had, mate, the top seven...
Mm.
Keeper Ian Healy and then Adam Gilchrist.
He got a chance. He had to score
runs. You couldn't get in the team. Like, you couldn't knock anyone out because these blokes just kept making runs for Australia. So he couldn't get an opportunity. And when he did get a crack, him and Matthew Elliott, same thing. Brilliant player. A lot of runs for Victoria. But come into the Australian team against a good West Indian attack, very hard to start your career there.
Yeah, no, that's a fair point. But I always remember, I loved him as a one-day player, Bevan. And then you wanted him to do well at the test level. And he just couldn't quite get there.
Time.
But you make a good point when you're facing
so many
those
great
bowlers.
Mate, look at the players that didn't play. Yeah. Bevan, Stuart Law, Greg Blewett had an awesome start to his career. I think he scored double 100. Jamie Sins. Like, guys that averaged nearly 60... in first-class cricket, couldn't get a game for Australia.
Yeah.
Now, if you average 30, you're a chance.
Well, Bevan played 18 tests, averaged 29, but in one day cricket, 232 games, averaged 53.58. Finished not out a lot, didn't he? His first class career, 237 games, averaged 57.32.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
And against good, like back then, domestic cricket was tough.
Yeah.
You're playing against a lot of the Australian players played for their state.
Yeah. Well, New South Wales was flying too.
Oh.
Not like how we don't win a Sheffield Shield game.
Don't win a game. We didn't win a game all season this
and
year.
And with all due respect, you look at the team, you don't really know the players.
Yeah.
Back in the day, you knew everyone. Everyone.
Yeah, they're high profile.
That's what, you know, you speak to a lot of the clubs now. Like Michael Swan, our president at Western Suburbs, he was my first grade captain. Absolute legend. I talked to him about grade cricket now, and he says the same thing. He said, you just can't get the players back. So Australian players don't play state cricket because they're too busy. So then state players don't play club cricket. So then the strength of what Australian cricket's always been has been grade cricket.
Yeah.
You know, our first grade is really second grade quality now. And it's because the big fish don't come back and play. There's just not enough time in the schedule. So, and look at domestic cricket, mate. No one goes. Does anybody turn up to a Shield game or a one-dayer?
It's all right, mate, as long as the Big Bash ratings are going okay. Okay.
By the future.
Penrith Parramatta is dominating the papers today. To'o Easy is the headline on the back page of the Daily Telegraph. Panthers shot at emulating legend. He's trying to score doubles against the same opposition in three straight matches. He's done it twice in a row against Para. And Greg Alexander is the only Panther to do that. Now, also on the back page of The Australian, Judgment Day for Moses. Cleary lengths ahead. And in the Sydney Morning Herald, which is on the front page, some Panthers as well. But in Andrew John's column, season at risk of slipping away unless the Eels can click quick, is the headline there. But in the News Corp papers, so Bulldog, our man Bulldog Richie, spoke to Craig Gower, Penrith Premiership captain, and when asked about the battle between Nathan Cleary and Mitch Moses, Gower says, well, you can't really compare the two, that Cleary's lengths in front of Moses, particularly when it comes to icing games, that Moses, while being a great player, is a good front runner. So a little shot fired there from Craig Gower, but it's hard to disagree.
Oh, I think Gowie's entitled to that opinion, and I think he's got the correct opinion. I think that that's been the story around Mitch for such a long time, is the fact that he just can't get his side home in a big game. Now, whether that's right or wrong, whether it's harsh criticism, whether it's fair criticism or not, that's just what the facts and numbers say. Whereas Nathan Cleary's delivered premierships to Penrith, won a World Cup with Australia. He's won Origin Series for New South Wales. And Mitch just hasn't been able to rise to that challenge. Gets a good opportunity tonight, though, to shut everyone up by going out there and playing some really good football and icing those moments. I think it'll be a tight game. I can't see it being a blowout because Penrith, coming off the bye, they could be a little bit rusted, but they'll start well. We know that Penrith love to start well. They were physical in that grand final last year, and that'll be the blueprint again tonight. But Parramatta, 3 games into the season, they shouldn't be fatigued, and they should be up and about, ready to have a real crack at this Penrith side. And if they get close enough, then it'll come down to the halves to see what they've got. So a lot of pressure on Mitch Moses and Dylan Brown tonight to be able to come up with the right options to get their team home. And if they can do that, they'll silence a few critics for a while.
8.5 start. It's a big start, isn't it, for the Eels at home? I know the Panthers are the premiers. They're coming off the bye, but I think we all agree they don't have the squad they had last year, but they're still, close to the team to beat. But Parramatta side at home, 0-3.
Yeah, well,
that's a big start.
It still didn't click for them last game against Souths, because if it did, they would have put 40 on Souths with the amount of ball that they had in the dominant field position they had in that 80 minutes, whereas they only won by 6 points and Souths were coming right at the end. So if Parramatta play their best football, they are certainly capable of beating Penrith, but can you trust them to do that? But they're desperate. They will be desperate tonight. And the ambush might be happening, as Bulldog said yesterday.
Give us a call, 1353 53. Send us a text, 0419 767 272. The World Golf Match Play. The World Golf Championships Match Play happening at the moment over there in Austin, Texas. Minwoo Lee has just won. He's finished one up against the Gala. JJ Spawn has beaten Matt Fitzpatrick 5-3. Just some other results here. Looking for Tyrrell Hatton's gone down to American Ben Griffin, 3-1. Lucas Herbert, the Aussie, is 1-16 against Russell Henley. Rory McIlroy is 2-2 against Scott Stallings. Let's see if I can find some more Aussies here, but we've got some. Oh, Adam Scott, I think, still to come later this morning. Jordan Spieth, he's 2-8 through 8 against Mackenzie Hughes. No, Adam Scott's in action at the moment. And Seamus Power, the Irishman, 1-8 through 4 holes against Adam Scott. Jason Day, trails. Adam Svensson, they're just out on course. So Svensson, the Canadian, 1-8 through 1 hole. So plenty of matches going on, plenty to come this morning over there at the WGC Match Play in Austin, Texas. But give us a call, 1353 53. You two weak, gutted dogs, Clarky and Loz. It's come back yesterday. the can book it in. Raiders, Sharks, round 27, September 3. So Royce Hunt, he said it with, I know, yeah, it was half like, joking. They played together at Mounties as well.
He was joking.
A few years ago. So Royce Hunt yesterday spoke, and of course he and Corey Horsburgh had that, well, scuffle. I mean, Royce Hunt got sent to the sin bin, and let's face it, he gave him the smallest of small taps, but it looked like a little punch, so he got sent to the sin bin, but Horsburgh had the last laugh because he ended up scoring just after that. And yesterday, Royce Hunt faces the media and calls. Well, he says, this is his quote, as Ricky Stewart would say, he's a weak gutted dog. We'll get him next game. And he continued on, we'll see if he fronts up. I've never seen a front rower hide behind a halfback.
A great example, if you actually watch the footage and listen to what he says versus if you read the quote. He said it as in, he just remembered what Ricky said. He said it laughingly. He was joking.
He wasn't laughing. I agree with you.
Zero malice.
A little bit in there. There wasn't.
I don't reckon at all.
I know he was trying to make light of it, but there was a little bit of a dig there. And I don't think he should be fined either, by the way. But you've got to be careful. You've got to be careful of, it's like, you know, someone being critical of you and being derogatory and then getting fined and suspended. And then I turn up to the press conference and go, well, as Mido said 2 weeks ago, and use the same language, you can't. You can't do that. You've got to be careful. So I think he'll get a warning letter. I think he'll get a warning letter about using that term. I don't think he'll be suspended or anything like that.
I'll never forget, the selectors must have made, when we were playing, like a, I don't know who they picked or who they dropped, made a massive mistake, right? And Jason Gillespie had to do media the next day, and he thought the selection was horrible. So he said, oh, my cousin's brother sent me a text message saying what a dreadful selection or something. I was like, mate, very, very well played. Like,
I remember that.
Sister's auntie's cousin, just make someone up, say exactly what you feel, but just blame it on someone else. Yeah. I didn't think there was, mate, you can't be suspended or fined for that, I don't reckon.
No, you can't, but you can't have saying.
It reads very different, in my opinion, to how it looks if you watch the interview.
Yeah, but there was an undertone there. You knew what he was getting at.
But if there was, Loz, I reckon, I took it as it was more like a... Ricky, put it that way, because I took it like him and Ricky must have a friendship.
No.
From Cronulla.
No, I wouldn't have thought so.
See, I took it like that.
No,
like
I wouldn't have thought so.
He's played under Ricky before and...
No, not that I'm aware of.
Okay. Well, that's how it came across to me.
Yeah.
I thought he must know Ricky, and it was a bit of like a...
I think he was genuinely dirty that he got sent to the sin bin and genuinely filthy that Horsburgh...
stood behind the halfback.
I think he was getting
it
at that.
Jack White.
As I said, I don't believe he should be fine, but you've got to be careful because you just can't be bringing up stuff and doing the old.
I get that.
As Michael Clark said, if you use the derogatory term to someone in the past and you were fined and suspended for it, you can't hide behind that and sort of have half a laugh about it. That's the only thing I'm sort of a little bit aware of, where you go, oh, geez, you could be crossing the line there. Yeah, but, I don't think he will be suspended. But I think Corey Horsburgh had a great comeback.
Yeah.
He had a great comeback. He just posted a photo of him in his arms, and he had a bottle of milk there with him.
So he's superimposed Hunt's head on his baby. Yeah. I think he's he had his kid there on the ground.
I didn't see that. That's brilliant.
Yeah. That's all. He just came back with that.
That's awesome. Yeah. Oh, man. These two are probably mates. Did you say they play together at Mounties?
Yes.
Yeah, so they're probably mates as well.
Yeah, I just got the feeling there was a
there's tiny a bit more to
tiny
it.
Tiny bit serious.
More to it.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, tiny bit
more
serious.
To it than just,
definitely joking.
Just mates, yeah.
Okay.
But there's a bit in it. Because that play, Horsburgh pushes Hunt over.
Yeah.
Hunt goes looking for him.
Yeah.
And sort of just clips him. Got 10 in the bin. Honestly, it was barely a sin bin. Yeah. Seriously. But then Horsburgh scores. Yeah. So Horsburgh's just... He's had it all over him, and Hunt would be dirty about
that. And you know, with footy clubs, they'd be laughing about the comment, weak gutted dog, and they'd be thinking and saying it during training sessions to each other, having a bit of a G-up, as most people would after Ricky said that last year.
They'd be having a bit of a laugh. Who did he say it about again?
Jamin Semmett.
Yeah.
But the tone with Hunt, it was... jokingly, and
maybe I've taken,
but there was
it more
a bit
friendly
more of an
then.
Undertone there of, I can't wait to get hold of this bloke next time.
Well,
I don't think he should be fined, but I think you just need to be careful in how you reference stuff. That's all, because I don't think you can get away with that
that's
anymore.
That's why I thought he must have played under Ricky before to say that, and like you're having a bit of a like taking the piss out of your old coach, or that's how I took it.
Yeah.
But if that's not the case, then Ricky'd be pissed.
No, I think it'd be more the fact that I'm going to try and deliver my message here with a bit of fun, but also knowing that I'm not happy about it.
Yeah, okay.
Rather than just coming out and spraying him.
Shano, how are you going?
Middo, good morning. Loz, Clarkie, how are you boys? All right?
Shano, go on, mate. Buddy.
Look, I want to talk about the future of halfbacks in the NRL, but Loz, do you still talk to Kevy?
Oh, I haven't spoken to Kevy, mate, probably since... I'll tell you when. I haven't spoken to him. I've texted him. I can't remember the last time, but it would have been possibly before the start of the season sometime, early in the new year. I always get a midnight text from him if he's out with Alf.
If you get a chance, just text him and just... So can we refer to the Dolphins, not as Redcliffe, just the Dolphins?
Just as the Dolphins?
Yeah. When not Redcliffe. Look, the halfback situation, all the experts obviously agreed that the Kaufusi shot, he should have been cleared no matter. But Joey was the only one that came out in support. I mean, if Joey had his way, all halfbacks would walk around in dinner suits and wouldn't get hit at all. Look, the thing is, Kenny made a good point last night on 360. Now back rowers are going to be that paranoid shooting up trying to hit a halfback, because halfbacks are they're protected species now, aren't they? They can virtually, if they take the line deep, they're not going to get hit. If they go for a bomb, they're not going to get hit. Forwards now will be that paranoid to lay a hand on them because the judiciary has set the tone. So, mate, they'll be running around like quarterbacks in the NFL now.
Yeah, it's a good point and something we have to look out for, because as a defender, coaches tell their players, and in particular the middle forwards, is to inside pressure. They call it inside pressure, where you get off the line and you go at the half to make him play early. That's what you basically want him to do, rather than going deep into the line. And if he goes deep into the line, well, you whack him. That's what you're telling your players. So I don't know where they are now or what they are going to do now, because they run the risk of what you say is spending time on the sideline. So there's got to be that balance there. And I thought the Kaufusi one wasn't as bad as the Manu... not the Manu one, the Suwali one the previous week, where he was fined and he ends up with 4 weeks. So, there's inconsistency there.
Yeah, well, he got suspended on reputation alone. Look, I've got all the respect for halfbacks that take the line on. They're great little players. But now, mate, they're going to have a blunt. They're just going to run berserk. And they'll go, oh, geez, I better not go near him. He's a halfback. Protected dinner suit.
Well, you'll see. I reckon you'll see some where they'll be penalised. There'll be others that aren't penalised. It's like with the kicker on fifth tackle or fourth tackle when they're kicking long and you've got kick pressure, people coming out, sometimes they get penalised for a little push. And then other times you can, you know, be there and collect him with a tackle or in the emotion of tackling and take him to the ground and they let it go. I get a bit confused with that. But you want to make sure that the cheap shots are out of the game. I think we all understand that. We all want to see that. But sometimes in the heat of the battle and when you slow it right down on replay, it looks far worse than what it normally is. Well, what it is. Because at normal speed, you just can't pull out.
Well, all we want is consistency. That's all we want. You know, and the way that started the year with the judiciary, looks like we're not going to get it, and it's going to go on all year. But anyway, I better shut my mouth and red and gold never fold, baby.
Good on you, Shano.
Thanks, Shane. The Queensland media are salivating over their inaugural Battle of Brisbane on Friday night. I mean, it's just dominated all week there in the Courier Mail. Yesterday, in fact, the Courier Mail hosted an inaugural launch for the match. And there's Kevvy Walters. Do you think Wayne Bennett went? Do you think he bothered to turn up?
Well played.
No, sends his assistant. You got to go to the launch.
Well played. Mate,
it's the first ever game.
Well played.
Kevvy Walters is there. Mate. Wayne Bennett, nah.
Well played.
Sending Christian Wolf. Make it about me, because the story will be about me not being there.
Well played, Wayne Bennett.
Seriously.
Just keep winning games, buddy. Keep winning games for the Dolphins. Don't worry about going to events and sucking up and just win games. But, well played.
But I love it. He doesn't go, and then he gives an exclusive to the paper saying that, you know, he's talking about when he sacked Kevvy Walters as an assistant coach back in 2005 there in Brisbane and explained why. You know, either Kevvy needed to get out of his comfort zone was his explanation and go and learn off other coaches because he'd been around Brisbane pretty much his whole life. So, that's the extent of Wayne Bennett talking in the lead up to this game so far. The biggest game in Brisbane for a long, long time.
Oh, it's a massive game. And, you know, the other thing about it is that it takes all the spotlight away from the Brisbane Lions, who are having their first home game on Friday night against Melbourne.
Yeah,
horrendous scheduling
AFL. So not a great scheduling decision by the AFL. And they would have just taken up all the space in the paper, on television, the Battle of Brisbane. So I don't know whether it's just by design, whether it was by design or whether it just happened. But well done to the NRL because this whole week has been about them rather than the AFL up there getting any traction at all in a massive game. First game of the season at home, Brisbane Lions. A lot of people think that the Lions can win the comp this year, taking on the premiership favourites in Melbourne. So, this game will attract close to 50,000 if it's not already at 50,000. There's plenty of side stories. Bennett returning home against the Broncos, Kevvy being sacked by Bennett, the players themselves.
Did Kevvy and Wayne get on?
Oh, yeah. They did, and still do, but I still think there's a bit of feeling there.
From being
I think Kevin
sacked?
Still,
Okay.
They've had their moments over time, haven't they?
Yeah, was disappointed, but I'm sure they move on.
Yeah,
I don't know whether the relationship is as tight as it used to be.
And we know Wayne's got massive beef with Brisbane in general, the Broncos.
Broncos, yeah.
Okay, well, that's love it. Well, that's probably why Wayne didn't want to go either. He probably doesn't want to do anything to do with Brisbane.
Yeah.
His attitude's probably, mate, if it's just for the Dolphins, I'm in. If it's got anything to do with helping Brisbane Broncos, you can jam it.
Put it this way. I reckon Kevvy's relationship with Wayne has survived because of Alfie.
Yeah, okay. Being right in the middle, being great friends with both.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Oh, that's awesome.
So I reckon that has held that relationship together.
Yeah, great.
If Alf wasn't there, I'd say the relationship wouldn't be, well, it'd be still there.
But not as good as
it'd
what
be
it
flaky.
Is.
Yeah, but I think it's still pretty.
But
pretty
tight. That happens, though. That happens in friendship as well, where you've got
fallout and then you
get back together. Exactly right.
So young half Isaiah Katoa is in doubt with an elbow injury. Anthony Milford could play his first game for the season, first game for the Dolphins, ironically, against the Broncos, where he spent so much of his career before he headed up to Newcastle there last year, Loz. But that would be another side story to this fixture.
And Milford's the type of player that has been bashed from pillar to post that could run out there and just turn it on.
MVP.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
And then you won't hear or see of him for another two months. But that's what Anthony Milford could do for you. Yeah. You know, he's been starring up there in Queensland Cup. Queensland Cup is completely different to NRL, but he has got ability, Anthony Milford, and if the Dolphins can get on the front foot, who knows what he can do. But this Broncos team, I think I've said it over the last 2 weeks now, that they are a good footy team. And I heard Kevy say something yesterday which was spot on. The good Broncos teams of the past, and in particular the ones back in the 90s, when they'd play a game, they could blow teams away, but you know, if they went with a team for 60, 70 minutes, they were able to put points on them at the back end of the game. And that's exactly what they did to the Dragons the other night. So they wouldn't have been able to do that last year. Mm. And I don't know whether this Broncos team are anywhere near those teams of 92, 93 yet. But when you look at the talent in it, I mean, if they keep going on the path that they're on now, I think by the end of the year, they're going to be a serious, serious footy team. Mm.
Well, we've got no Yvonne today. If you're just tuning in, Vonnie's got a commitment with Fox League. So we'll just do intermittent previews throughout the morning. So on this game, the Dolphins $3.60, Brisbane $1.29. 11.5 is the line with Tab, Dolphins the plus. Can any of us envisage what would be another monumental upset? It seems like we've said that a few times about the Dolphins already, particularly round one against the Roosters, but this would be some upset, considering they've lost their talismanic forward in Kaufusi, who's just been unreal for them.
They've lost their enforcer. You know, he gives them a bit of starch, and especially in defence. And, you know, he's been wonderful this year in being able to maim opposition players and go after them and really set the tone and inspire his team. Without him, who does that? Is it Gilbert, who's capable of doing it? But for me, the Broncos have just got way too many points in them, and they've got a harder edge this season. I like Haas and Flegler and Carrigan. You know, those three middle forwards are good players, excellent, and they've got massive careers in front of them. You know, and they're only getting better.
And Reece Walsh, Loz. I don't remember him being that fast.
Yeah, he's always been fast. He's always been a kid that's been highly touted, but on an edge where he gets one-on-one, he's electrifying. And he hasn't reached anywhere near his ceiling, because when you watch him play, like, once he gets his aerobic capacity and fitness levels up to a James Tedesco type level, where he's just pushing on every play, you watch this kid go. I mean, mate, he at the moment is possibly playing at 70% of where I think he can get to, because, mate, he doesn't push around the middle like a Tedesco as many times, just because his body's not able to do it yet. You know, but once he gets the K's into his legs, he'll be a threat through the middle. He'll be a threat on the edge. Like, you look at what Tom does, Tom Trbojevic. You know, he's just everywhere. And I think this kid, possibly at the back of the field, he hasn't got the carries in him, because you can dominate him. But if he can give it to the wingers, and Brisbane put good kick pressure on the opposition, so they're not having to carry the ball and relying on him to bring the ball off his own try line for yardage, that'll help his game, Reece Walsh's game. And if the Broncos are getting more possessions starting outside their 20, mate, you're saving his gas up for when you're getting into good ball. And good ball for the Broncos will be around halfway this year. And if he's pushing around the middle and he can push to an edge and he can play down short sides, he's one hell of a weapon.
So this thing, on 100% footy on Tuesday night, they're asking Phil Gould about him. Monday night, sorry. And, Gus obviously worked with him closely at the Warriors there, and he just goes, the kid's a superstar. Absolute superstar.
Oh, man, he hasn't reached anywhere near his potential. But that's what I mean. Like, if he doesn't have to bring the ball off his own line, whereas teams will be saying, we need to give the Broncos the ball coming off their own line, and let's give it to Walsh. Let's get stuck into him. Right. Every time he carries it, we get our hands on him, we've got to do a job on him. And that'll take a bit of energy out of him. But if the Broncos have good kick pressure, outside backs start to get the ball on the full, or the wingers start to get the ball on the full, and they carry the ball first play and, you know, get it over the 20-metre zone, mate, the Broncos with Walsh and his speed will worry teams from most positions on the field.
Everyone Broncos?
Yes.
Vonnie's tipping the Broncos as well. It is 29 minutes to 7. Just coming up this morning on the show, so Gowie soon. The match play is on at the moment. Adam Pengilly. We've got Nathan Hindmarsh. Heels great, courtesy of Fox League, just after 7 o'clock this morning. Natalie Tobin, the Sydney FC captain in the A-League Women's. Brad Davison, South legend Bob McCarthy, as we remember the great John Sattler, and look ahead to that South's Manly game Saturday night. Peter Barton from the Wellington Race Club as well. They got their big Wellington boot and cup meeting on Sunday. WGC match play in Austin, Texas, first day, and Jason Day at the moment's tied through three holes with Canadian Adam Svensson, Adam Scott. Trails, Seamus Power, one up through seven. The Irishman against the Aussie in that match. I've just been told Lucas Herbert's just won. Unfortunately, Cam Davis was beaten 4-3 by Xander Schauffele. And Minwoo Lee, he has finished one up. He's won against Sahith Thagala. So some of the results there. And Gowie's coming up shortly. Last night in the cricket, Clarkey predicted it. And it happened. Australia, 269 all out. India, 248 all out. So we've won by 21 runs and won that three-match series 2-1 against the Indians. Adam Zampa, player of the match, for 4 for 45. Mitch Marsh was adjudged player of the series. And he and Travis Head opened again. And they put on a pretty good opening stand as well of 68. Head was eventually dismissed for 33. Marsh, 47. 47 was top scorer as well. Lots of 20s and 30s for the Aussies in their innings. But Dave Warner came in at 4. He made 23 off 31 deliveries in his first match of the series. And that's a good win for the Aussies there last night, Pup. But certainly interesting considering our batting order and how it will play out heading towards the World Cup, which is just about locked in to be October 5, I think the first game is later this year.
Yeah, surprised. Well, I was firstly surprised Davey went with his elbow if he was only going to play one game. Then they selected him, even though it was a must-win game to win the series. No Glenn Maxwell. Interesting. So I wonder if... Well, Max is just coming back from that broken leg as well. So I wonder if he's... He wasn't at 100% and wasn't available for selection. And so they picked Davey and then put him in the middle order at number four. So... I don't know. Is that what they're thinking for the World Cup? Maybe open with Travis Head and Mitchell Marsh and bat Dave in the middle order. But I've always said, I reckon you're planning at least 12 months in advance for a World Cup. So you know what your squad looks like. You're very close to the 15-man squad. It's probably one or two question marks. You're checking where blokes are injury-wise. And you're certainly trying to play your full-strength team in the conditions if you get that opportunity. So if that's the case, then Australia looks like, you know, with a World Cup in those conditions in October, you would think they're going to go with Mitch Marsh and Travis Head. Hopefully they've used these three one-dayers to look at certain players and... Now they should be pretty set on what that World Cup campaign is going to look like, how they're going to play, who they're going to use, who's going to bat where, who's going to bowl where, everyone's individual role. And that'll do their confidence the world a good winning that series against India in their own backyard.
Morning, Gowie. How are you?
Good morning, fellas. Middo, how'd you go at New South Wales? Did you rip it apart?
Had an absolute... How good is it? Honestly, it's the third time I've played there, Gowie, and not forgotten, but just reiterated how great that course is. I absolutely loved every second of it. We had a ball. We shot one under our four ball Ambrose side. I don't know what the score was of those who won it. We all had our moments. Just how good that fifth and sixth holes. Are there two better holes in New South Wales?
Oh, no, that's one of our, you know, we're not as fortunate as Victoria, where they've got so many good golf courses. We've only got a handful in Sydney and New South Wales, and you know, New South Wales golf course, La Perouse, is right up there. Like, I mean, the best in the world, not just you know, in this country, it's in the world. And you know, you have people from all around the world come and play. It's just the most magnificent bit of land. And they've done a Mark Parker, the greenkeeper out there, they've done such a great job. They've pulled out all the brush, and now you can see the ocean a bit more. And on a beautiful day. It's incredible out there. It's mate, you had a lot of shoes to fill out there. I was actually defending champion of the English Golf Day. We won it last year.
Oh, right.
I took two big hitters with me. I took Luke Burgess and Luke Roberts from Club Car, and they just smashed it around, and we won the day, and off to the races. So it was fantastic. Great day, the English Day.
Yeah.
Gowie, is it a tough course to play on?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, okay. People quite often ask me, would I be a member there? And I'd go, I wouldn't really, because I'd go there on a sad day, and if it's a bit windy, like, it's just going to keep me fair in the nuts, because it's so hard at different times. Mainly when it's windy. When it's not windy, and I've been out there many times when it's not windy, and it's such a joy to play. But when that wind gets up, the way the course is designed, the second hole is just a gem, this par three, and it's, good luck trying to hit it. It's an upside down saucer. It's just beautiful. It's just one of those classic hard golf courses. So I don't know if I'd want to have that every week that I play golf, but it's beautiful.
I thought you might have been out there with Fox Sports for your golf show interviewing Gary Player.
Yeah, no, I played with Gary Player. No, we didn't. So we've just started filming, actually. The show's about back in May. It starts in May, but I was out yesterday doing that. But no, we would have been good to have Gary on. I played with him twice, actually, the great Gary Player, and it was great fun. I had the great Johnny Gibbs on the bag at the time, and I said that Gibbs, I said, whatever you do, I know Gary Player doesn't like to talk to caddies, so shut up the entire time. And, Gibbsy, until we got to the 13th and Gary Player had made a mistake and a bit of a rules infringement, and he turned to Gibbsy and said, I can't believe I did that. And then Gibbsy then replied with, that's the dumbest thing I've ever seen a professional golfer do. And I am cringing. This is one of the world's greats. And Gibbsy and him, from that point, this was at the Australian Masters, they got on like a house on fire, to the point when we're coming up the last hole, it's pouring down rain, and as a caddy, they should be holding the umbrella over my head, but no, he was holding it over the great Gary Player's head. So it was a fun day, but he's got a mate for the rest of his life.
It was an awesome day, but it's an awesome tournament, this WGC, this match play, and Gowie, I don't know how much you've seen so far this morning. Just some mixed results I'm seeing for some Aussies so far.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. This is the last time they have it, which is a bit disappointing with all the changes in the world of golf and the PGA Tour. This is a fun one, this match play stuff, and you see guys under the pump from the first hole. So it's who can handle the pressure. And, all the Aussies in the field, from Jason Day to Adam Scott, have played a lot of match play in their time, because that's, we grow up on it at our clubs. We played pennant golf. You come through the juniors, the Eric Apley into your A grade pennant, into state golf, into Australian golf. So we've played a lot of it. So it's surprising we haven't had more winners over the years in this event. But the Americans, they don't actually grow up like that. College golf, they play a little bit of it head to head, but it's more stroke play. So it's surprising how good they are at it.
Who are you tipping to take it out, Gowie?
Oh, mine's Patrick Cantlay. I don't know how he started, because I'm out early this morning filming, so I haven't actually had a look at all the results this morning. But Patrick Cantlay, I think he's primed for it. He's been flying totally under the radar. A couple of the matches there that'll be interesting today is obviously McIlroy and Scott Stallings, who is a guy who's a player, Scott Stallings, that is just one of those guys that can actually just annoy you. So it wouldn't be surprising to me if McIlroy has a bit of a tough task on his hands. The other one is Ram and Ricky Fowler, who Fowler's made a big change in his career. He's changed golf coaches, he's changed a bunch of stuff, and now he's playing well. He's actually got himself into the Masters. So, but I reckon that it is definitely Patrick Cantlay. He hasn't been playing that great, but he's been creeping up there. I looked at his stats this week, just to have a look, and they're slowly getting better here and there.
Well, McIlroy's won 3-1 against Stallings, excuse me, and Fowler's one up through 12 against Rahm, and in Patrick Cantlay's match, he's two up through 6 against Nick Taylor, the Canadian. So there you go, Gowie, you're pretty close
there
on the mark.
Yeah, pretty close.
David McLusey won the New South Wales Open by 2 strokes the other day, Gowie.
Yeah, this is just a mention of a player that's played really well. I know he's not playing on the US Tour, but he's going to win the Australian Order of Merit, which gets him a start on the DP World Tour and a bunch of starts around the world, actually, with all the alliances that the Golf so the PGA of Australia have got now. And you know, but he's won three times, and the New South Wales Open winning on the weekend, that was fantastic. You know, Cade McBride sort of fell over a little bit at the end, but it was a great tournament in regional New South Wales. But it was, you know, this kid that's come of age, and he's one of those little fighters that we all sort of barrack for, because unconventional golf swing, but just a tough little competitor. And I can't wait to see how he goes on the world stage. He's a bit of a rev head. He loves the hold, and he's got a Commodore that's all, you know, souped up a little bit like Peter Lonard in the day. Yeah, they win a bit of money and they put a bit more money into their Commodore. I always said to Lonard, it's just a glorified taxi that he was driving at the time. So it's Michelucci is a very similar player. So well done to him, and it'll be interesting to see where he goes from here.
And tell us about the Corrales Punta Cana Championship.
Yeah, this will be interesting. Not a great field, obviously. You know, down in the Dominican Republic, and you know, we've got five Aussies in it. And the one that's interesting to me is Jeff Ogilvie, and I've picked him as the best Aussie this week. He finished 20th in an event 2 weeks ago. He obviously had limited starts for the last, you know, 5 or 6 years, and he's now dedicated himself back to golf. So he's moved back to the US. The family's back there. He's back in Arizona. He's playing a lot of money games around there to get himself, you know, ready to go. But, you know, he sort of stopped playing tournament golf and went into design. And he's still part of that design company, but he's gone over there. He's missed playing competitively. So the juices weren't flowing. So now he's going to have a real crack on the US Tour and see what events he gets in. So these events are really key for someone like him, because he's not fully exempt. He's got past status. So, but I like a guy called Matt Wallace. If you want to see a guy going off at their caddy last week, it's this Matt Wallace. He finished inside the top 10. Pommy guy that was absolutely ripping it into his caddy, and it was all on TV. So it was quite an interesting one. It went viral. But, yeah, you don't often get that type of outburst. But he's a really good player. He won four times on the European Tour. Hasn't won on the US Tour yet, and I think it's his turn to win.
Love it, Gowie. Have a great day. And those Eels tonight, are they going to have their first win of the season?
Oh, I think it's going to be tough. I think our first 5 weeks are pretty tough. So, hey, the footy's back. We get to watch it tonight. You know, everyone's been giving me 10-0. Keep them coming, but, you know, it's a long season.
Good on you, Gowie. Thank you.
Thanks, fellas.
What do we got here? The wise owl's getting stuck into you, Loz. Mm. Morning, gents. Think you better check your stats, Loz, on Milford. If not mistaken, the Dolphins have played one game in Q Cup and drew, and Milford hasn't played yet, says wise owl.
So, bum, bum.
Wise owl. No, you are right, wise owl. The Dolphins have only played one game, but unfortunately, Milford doesn't play for the Redcliffe Dolphins in the Queensland Cup. He plays for the Central Queensland Capras, and he's played the opening two games for the Capras. And you know the strange thing about Milford playing for the Capras? Have a guess who his halves partner is.
Tell us. No idea.
A kid by the name of Jock Madden.
Time with Brisbane.
So Jock Madden is with Broncos, and Milford is with the Dolphins, but they both play for the Capras.
I automatically thought whoever signed with the Dolphins would have to come through the Redcliffe system. But no, obviously you've got it's completely separate.
Oliver
separate.
Gildart is also in that Capras team. He's from the Dolphins as well. And you'll find a number of those Broncos players go back and play with different clubs as well in the Queensland Cup. So they spread the talent. So there you go, wise out. I think
so wise.
But I like you keeping me honest.
Yeah, stay on him, wise.
Yeah, that's
stay
it.
Stay on him, mate.
You'll get him next time.
He makes stuff
100%
up.
100% he will.
He makes stuff up make stuff all up. The time, wise out. So I'm surprised on this occasion he has done
got
some research.
Technicality,
we haven't made a thing up in our life. Well, you've made a million things up. I'm trying to accuse me of doing.
Oh, yeah, I make stuff up every day.
Yeah.
Apology accepted too, wise. I know you'll text in and apologise.
Yeah, I just throw something out there.
Yeah. Excuse me, I'm going out on dates and it's like Thursday lunchtime. It's completely incorrect. Listen. Anyway, Adam Pengilly, good morning to you. How are you, mate?
Morning, boys. You're copping it from all angles this morning, aren't you, Loz? I'm still trying to get over yesterday's end to the program about you still using cheques to pay for everything.
Not everything, but I use cheques to pay for a few things, yes. Is that bad?
Yes, it is.
It's not bad. It's just, it's very, very, very old school.
I could just see you just shuffling into the bank with your walking stick and your little checkbook and up to the teller and the counter.
Well, you know what happened?
An ATM, Adam. He goes to the teller.
This is funny, all right? Because I go to the one particular bank and I saw the same lady and she said to me about four times, she said, you know, you can go and use that machine to put the check in, to deposit that check into an account, someone else's account.
I get it.
But I don't know how to do that.
It's like,
and she says, I'll show you. So she showed me once, she showed me a second time, and now she goes, I'm not showing you again.
No. It's like Woolworths. You go to the counter and get the lady or the man to swipe your things and you pay them the bill for your groceries. You don't go and do it yourself, do you? You're not.
I do myself.
Well, then what's going on with you? If you're doing self-check-in or self-check-out at Woolworths.
Yeah, no, I do that.
Mate, then how are you not using an ATM?
Yeah, but I put my card in to the self checkout.
No, what I'm saying is you're modernising. You're not you're using self checkout. That's this generation.
Yeah.
Yet you're still writing checks. That's not this generation. You're using technology. You're doing stuff yourself. You can do this, Loz.
I can jump.
The checkbook can stay in the cupboard for life. You'll never need it again.
Your kids must give it to you.
Oh, man, they give it to me about everything.
You know, you can buy everything on your credit card?
Everything.
Yeah. You can buy a car. You can buy your house. You can buy everything on your credit card.
I know, but I like seeing my money go in, go out. Come in, go out. Come in, go out.
Are you okay?
Yeah. I am okay. I'm not backwards.
No, but I like, you must cop a barrage of abuse at home.
Oh, yeah.
It sounds like that's consistent, though.
Yeah.
It's no different to being in here. Mm.
But, yeah, I don't know. People think differently to me. I know that, and I understand that. But I'm set in my ways. I'm very, very much set in my ways. That's all.
I love it. You're comfortable, though. By the way, Wise Owl says, humble pie for me, Lozza. And back in your nest, Wise Owl says, fin chop.
Love you, Wise Owl. Don't be hard on yourself.
Nature Strip galloped yesterday between races, and James McDonald gave a glowing report, Adam.
And what was the quote, Jared? That's the best he's felt since Royal Ascot last year, which is quite an ominous sign if that's the case. And James knows him obviously better than anyone else. So we know he was pretty flat first up in the Lightning Stakes, and quite an unusual preparation for him heading into the TJ Smith Stakes on Saturday week. Just quietly, boys, how big an occasion is going to be next Saturday? Like, I know we've got some great racing coming up on the Tancred, but this horse trying to win the TJ Smith Stakes for the fourth straight year, which was our premier sprint race in the autumn, and without the Everest, it's always been the premier sprint race in Sydney for the entire year. So we talk about some of the feats of Winx winning four Cox plates and everything like that, and I'm not saying it's in the same realm or same stratosphere, but it is going to be a massive, massive occasion next week where this horse can pull it off and win four straight TJs, and I'd love to see him do it. So, James given the tick of approval there yesterday. Chris Waller's been very deliberate in his plan after that Lightning Stakes, and can't wait to see what he can produce on Saturday week at Randwick.
$6 for those interested. Third favourite behind Giga Kick and In Secret for the TJ as it stands at the moment. But when you see Nature Strip at $6, it's got to be tempting to an extent, doesn't it?
Well, Jared, that's been the pattern of his career. Like, when he starts, you know, odds on and short price quotes, often he can get beat. And when he gets around that sort of $3.50, $4 mark, sometimes longer, that's when he sort of produced his best performances. Now, obviously, horses don't know what odds they're going to start, but he just had that SP profile all throughout his career. So, yeah, I know it's a bit of a leap of faith. He's probably put in a few subpar runs sort of the back end of the spring, and he's first up this autumn, but he's probably at that really backable price at the moment, around that $6 mark.
Speaking of Royal Ascot, Taurus headed there and then to stud.
Yeah, Anthony and Sam Friedman announced, Jared, yesterday that he will be bypassing the TJ Smith Stakes on Saturday week, giving a little short freshen up in the paddock, and he'll be heading back overseas again to take on the Jubilee Stakes down straight at Royal Ascot. So we'll have some Australian representation at the very minimum with Artorias over there. Great to see him get his Group 1 up here in Sydney, obviously a couple of weeks ago, and I think probably it's always been a long-range plan to take him back over to the UK where he raced so well last year. So, yep, we've seen him run his last race in Australia as it stands at the moment. He'll have one sort of farewell campaign in the Northern Hemisphere, then off to start at Newgate.
And the Tancred Field is set. What do you make of it?
Yeah, probably not as strong as what I thought it was going to be, Jared, off the nominations. I thought, geez, we're going to get a really nice race, but a lot of these overseas trained horses haven't accepted. Joseph O'Brien's only got the one acceptor at the moment, a horse called Cleveland for Kieran McAvoy booked. But that horse, I believe, is probably targeting the Sydney Cup. So it's not 100% locked, confirmed or locked in where he's going to run on Saturday in the Tancred Stakes. Obviously, the usual suspects are going to be there. Montefilia on the quick backup from last week. She'll be obviously have some admirers. And Gold Trip, I think, getting out to the mile and a half and maybe with a bit of cut in the ground will come into his own. Should see a lot better performance than him than last week. So it's not ideal when we have the Australian Cup on the same day this week down in Melbourne. It just makes it so hard, doesn't it, to try and get good fields in both those races. But anyway, it is what it is. We'll have to make do and try and find a winner on the weekend.
Yeah, we could talk for hours about that. But anyway, it's a great day's racing nonetheless. Thanks so much, mate.
See you, boys.